It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Do you want a kiss?
No, thank you.
Do you want some peppermint bark?
No, thank
it's
you.
It's Ghirardelli, which superior marketing has caused us to believe is nicer than other chocolate.
I mean, it is Belgian, isn't it?
Well, it's San Franciscan. I mean, Ghirardelli is a place in San Francisco.
Oh, I thought it was Belgian.
Yes, Ghirardelli of San Francisco since 1852.
Wow.
Which means they might have used slaves. I don't think so because it's California. But they probably exploited some Hispanic labor.
Or currently do. Is Godiva chocolate Belgian? Who's Belgian?
That could be Belgian.
There's a popular...
I mean, there's a lot of things that are Belgian.
No, I mean, there's a very popular chocolate in America that is actually Belgian.
One's name is Geert. One's name is Belgium. They have a Walloon dog. I think Godiva may be what you're thinking of.
Seems like it.
But Ghirardelli, because I was in San Francisco once in my life, and it was back when Ghirardelli was, like, just a thing there.
I know people are going to say, Ghirardelli doesn't sound French or Dutch, William, so why would you think it was Belgian? Because that's just what I thought I heard from somewhere, as odd as it sounds.
I mean, also William's not that bright. Also, I feel like Godiva isn't French or Dutch, so exactly, whatever.
Because whatever it is, whatever this popular Belgian chocolate in America is, I don't recall the
Hershey's
name sounding.
It's no, Hershey's.
I don't recall the name sounding Dutch or French. That's why when I see Ghirardelli, the fact that it's Italian, I guess, doesn't make me think.
Larry's Red Hot Spankin' Chocolate from Belgium.
Now I really want to know. I know there's some really popular brand.
I think it's
Belgian.
Probably
Lindt. Is it Lindt?
Oh, Lindt would probably be. Yes.
Actually, now that I think of it,
Belgian. Yes, the Belgian chocolatiers from Lindt. I've seen the commercial with the actor.
But that does sound Dutch.
Pretending.
I'm thinking of.
I don't know what sort of
Dutch
crisis I have wrought here, but I'm fascinated.
It's really bothering me.
I think I broke you early in the episode, and on accident. That's no fun. I like to do it on purpose. So, Merry Un-Christmas, everybody. It's the day after Christmas. So, if you're listening to this on Christmas, whoa.
Wow, the mall was busy. Whew.
What were you doing in the mall at Christmas?
The day after Christmas?
What were you doing in the mall? I mean, to start.
We were going to see Star Wars a second time. And so,
ordinarily, with most people, that would mean you really liked it. In your case, it could mean that, or it could mean several other things. I can think of reasons you would go to see Star Wars a second time that would not be because you liked it. But so, we're jumping ahead. We have to first talk about what the podcast is.
Okay.
For those of you just joining us, hello, everyone. Welcome. Magic Talking Podcast, the only podcast that can't get their shit together, but keeps going anyway. As I told you in email, I am irrationally excited to be recording one episode.
That is what you said.
What am I going to do with the rest of my night? Like, that never happens.
You look mighty cozy, I have to say.
I am. We'll get to that. Okay. But, for those of you just joining us for the first time ever, I hope you had a good Christmas, but here we are. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks, cool people, nice people, caring, loving people. People who we have to ask for help again because we're getting low, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, little comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them, manifest physically within the hat itself. we, its excruciating servants, draw. I'm running out. I need a dictionary for this. Draw the note cards out of the hat at random. Read them on the air. Talk about them till we're bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the whole show except the parts that aren't, which is most of the show. And it has been 2 weeks since we have recorded.
And I'm William, and this is episode 459.
God damn it. And I'm Tony, whatever. I don't know. We'll get it next year.
You make me remember the number, so I have to say it. If you skip it, I'm still going to say it.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
That is not the line. That is not the deal breaker here.
Okay, good.
So, what were you up to, William? How was Star Wars?
Okay.
I just skipped the middle bit.
Star Wars. Well.
Yes.
We saw it a second time for two reasons.
One, I feel like there's going to end up being more than two by the time you're done talking.
My wife had a reason for seeing it a second time, and I had a reason for seeing it.
I'm going to eat some chocolate.
She wanted to see it a second time because she really liked it.
All right.
I wanted to see it a second time because, like so many films that we've seen, I wasn't sure how I felt about it.
You're like that with most movies.
The first time. But seeing it today, earlier today, for the second time, I really liked it also. Here's what it's like, though. It's, you know how Force Awakens had a lot of problems, and they were all related to the fact that J.J. Abrams directed it, basically?
All right.
But Force Awakens, we really like it. We've got it on Blu-ray. We watch it all the time. We love watching it. This is going to be the same. There's going to be stuff that we don't like about it that's all related to J.J. Abrams being the director, but it's got a lot of stuff we like in it, and we're probably going to own it, and we're probably going to watch it and really enjoy it. Now, the critical reviews are very low, as I understand it. The audience reviews on Rotten Tomatoes are okay, but the critical reviews...
I don't know for sure. I know the box office is very low for a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Which is to say it's still tons of money, but for a Star Wars movie, it's pretty low.
Well, except if you compare it to... So, I've heard people say that, and the speculation about...
I think for a main series Star Wars
movie. Yeah. But it could still make $1 billion.
Because, oh, yeah.
Because I think it made more than Joker made in its opening weekend, and Joker made $1 billion without China's help, which I guess this movie's not doing that well in China. Aquaman opened at the same time period last year, also didn't make as much money in their opening weekend, but made $1 billion. So it's probably still going to make $1 billion. I think the kids are going to like it. I think that's a key thing because even though we liked The Last Jedi, the things that disappointed us about it, I realized much later would also disappoint kids. And I don't think kids like Last Jedi as much, and I can understand why. But I think they're going to love this one. And as long as the kids love it, you know, the parents will show up and whatever. So I think it's going to do okay. I think it'll probably not have a big first weekend drop. And we both did like it. I don't know if we're going to see it again in the theater, but we'll definitely own it and watch it. Because it had a lot of good stuff in it.
I have not seen it. I'm confident that I will see it in the theater.
Oh, in the theater even?
I think I probably will. But I mean, in the sense that, like, I may just wake up at one point and find myself in a seat. it feels still like a very foregone conclusion. But I realized today that I'm not opposed to that at all. But if something happened and scheduling was just such and I didn't get to see it in the theater, I would be fine with that. And that's a major milestone for me, and I'm very pleased. I've been waiting for the Star Wars movie that I don't bother to see in the theater. And this isn't definitively that, because I still probably will. But, like, my caring is fairly low, and I'm very happy about that.
Okay. So how did your last 2 weeks go? Because you did traveling, and you had a big Christmas, probably.
I don't even know. What did happen? All right. Yes, we had Christmas with the family. That was pretty nice. I was only there for, like, 2 days, because I had to work Monday and all that. Excuse me. Chocolate burp. I got a blanket.
I see that.
You see it? It's very nice. Feel it. It feels very weird.
Oh, it is kind of weird how it feels.
Like it's very artificial, fleecy, very soft, but like, yeah, the stuff moves in a way.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It's almost got a pattern.
It's very nice. I am a little, I don't know which weirds me out more. Oh, first of all, over the last few years, I've been given a lot of blankets as presents.
Really?
And that's a little weird. But what's weirder is I've really enjoyed getting blankets as presents. I do feel like I'm just about at critical mass. I've got enough blankets. But our house gets drafty in the winter, and I like a good blanket. Mm. So, but yeah, I've been getting a lot of, I got a quilt from my, Trish and I both got matching quilts from my mother.
So would you say that's a gray or a silver? It's very pretty, whatever it is.
That's true. It's kind of one of those that switches. Like if you do it against the grain, it's gray, and then with it has a weird sort of non-pattern pattern to it that almost makes it look like some sort of weird pelt off of a Dr. Seussian animal of some kind. It's probably a Sneed. I got other cool stuff. I got a reader board. Like the old timey ones that they would put in front of like the banquet reception or whatever that you stick the letters on.
Yeah.
My in-laws got them for my sister. My wife's sister got them for her sisters. And then as an afterthought, she thought Tony might want one too. And so she got me one. And I'm very excited because starting June 2nd, I am moving to a new cubicle. And it's larger, and I'm decorating, and like I'm like,
ooh.
I'm going to make use of this.
Nice.
There will be lots of messages outside my cubicle.
That's very cool.
So I'm excited about that, too.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I got, what else did I get? It's all in that box there.
In that box right there?
Yes, in that box right there. It's also what my wife got, so some of it may not be. I mean, don't get confused. That's the reader board.
Oh, these are the letters.
Yeah, which have to be broken out.
And you've got a calendar, it looks like?
Yes. My sister-in-law did the family calendar again. I'm in the calendar a lot this time, which does not normally happen, but a bunch of it is pictures from the Disney trip.
Can I look at it?
Yeah. And so there's a lot of pictures of me for once.
Oh, you look good in this picture. That looks good.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Some of the pictures I don't look as great, but some of them I look pretty good. What else did I get?
Trish looks good.
There
was
a ton of stuff. They kind of went light on gifts this year, which I was pleased about. And then they gave a bunch of us gift cards too. So I got money basically, which is nice because I am planning on buying a tower PC and hooking it up to my TV and just using wireless keyboard and mouse and controller and stuff.
Picture for your birthday.
Yeah, for
That's
my birthday.
Cool.
Yeah. We didn't do much. We sat around and played games.
You're rather photogenic, aren't you?
I'm a lovely creature.
I don't take a good picture at all, but all your pictures look good.
Teresa does too. The secret is what I like to call not giving a fuck. That's the secret to a lot of my social and visible success.
You look like
people like confidence, and if you feel like you genuinely don't care.
You look like a far more pleasant human being than you actually are.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. It's the lack of movement. I seem really nice until I move and make sound and stuff, and then, yeah.
I mean, you always look happy.
Yeah, no, I have a great fake smile for that. Hey.
Is that what it is?
No, it's a real one. When I was younger, I couldn't, like, if you say smile, like, it's hard to do one that looks real to me.
Yeah.
And then I found my inspiration. A gentleman by the name of Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
If you ever watch Dennis Quaid in a movie, he does this giant smile that mechanically looks like it's fake, but it looks genuine on him. And I was like, if he can do it, then I can do it. And so I do it. And I just do a really big, like, purposeful smile. And I don't know, I've been doing it long enough or whatever that it's legit.
Yeah, it looks good. This one, you're not smiling. That looks more like the Tony.
Yes. There are some that I very seriously don't smile. And also, I get really tired of posed pictures and like having to line everybody up and everything. So
what's supposed to be going on here in this picture? It looks like there was supposed to be something added to the picture.
Yes, that was a great. So Disney has a thing where they will add magic to a picture, and the photographer knows, and he sets it up. And so he'll be like, point over there. And afterwards, they'll have like Dumbo flying in the air or whatever. And so he told us to look really excited there. And I believe the traditional one there is Tinkerbell appears. But for some reason, it got processed through with nothing in it. And they were like, we could probably fix it. And we're like, no, this is awesome. We're just staring dumbfounded at our open hands with nothing in it. It's great. But you see this one here.
Up here?
Yes, with all the people that are all wet and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
This is because the 4-year-old niece it was my aunt's phone, or her aunt's phone, my sister-in-law's phone, and it was locked. But she figured out how to take pictures with it without unlocking it.
Mm.
And so she took like 20 pictures. She never picked up the phone. It was sitting by the pool there. But she would take pictures of herself making faces, and they finally figured out what she was doing. So that's them just, like, looking while the 4-year-old is taking pictures. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, your anniversary's in here. That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I always forget it's the same date as my dad's birthday. I always forget that.
If it helps, I never remember that either. And I feel like this is the first time you've ever told me, which it certainly is not. But that's how much I forget.
This is really nice.
Yeah.
And the pages are thick too. So
yeah, there's a few deals like that. There's a lot of editing the photos, and I think it's a lot of work for Stephanie. And I don't know that she'll keep it up, but we all like them very much. So
it seems like we'll see. Every single one.
Right. Well, she tries to get everybody on every single one. She did miss me in 1 month. I believe in November I'm not in there. But the big thing is I'm more than once, and a couple times I'm even in there more than my niece, and my niece is always like has the most.
So, it looks like you guys have a pretty good, great time when you go to Disney or whatever.
Well, this was all one trip, I think.
Still, everyone looks most part. Genuinely happy.
Yeah, we figured for post pictures, but yeah, it was a good time. I don't want to do it again anytime soon, but it was good. I do occasionally get wistful about it, but I don't want to go back. All right, this is not an interesting conversation. We should talk about it. So, I beat my first dungeon in Conan Exiles.
You did?
Yeah, which is a weird dungeon because there were no monsters in it until the boss.
I thought you quit doing it.
I did, but I knew I would get back to it, and I did.
Okay.
Although I haven't been playing a lot lately. I've tweaked the difficulties so that I'm kind of enjoying it a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
But we'll see. I don't know. It's still a slog right now because there's a lot. I want to be exploring, and I have to do a lot of collecting to get the next technology right now, and that's a little bit boring to me. But and thralls take so long to enslave. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they do.
Slavery is hard. I'm also getting weird about it. For some reason I've decided I'm just getting women. I want my whole camp to be women. Me and we're like an Amazon thing going.
Yeah, that's
it's a lot harder to be like, oh, I need an armor. Nope, this is a dude. Oh, this is one, but I already have one of these. And I got a goddamn tier 3 cook way early on, which I'm like, I don't really care about the cooks, but might as well. But tier 3 takes forever, and I'm like, why am I waiting so long for a cook? So I finally just built, I have the lesser Wheel of Pain. Now I've got a regular Wheel of Pain in the same place. And so I'm just trying to get as many of them in there as I can.
So we're playing...
Slavery's hard.
We're playing...
The Outer Worlds, because I recommended it, and I'm awesome.
You are awesome, and it is very cool, and I'm very sad you can't play it, because I think you'd like it.
Yep.
We thought maybe there's a, you know, sometimes there's a third-person mode. I thought if I found it, I could tell you, but it's
I
not.
Looked early on that one, and no, there is not such a thing. They made a point, they talked about it, that there wouldn't, because a lot of people complain. They're like, why can't you? Other games, you can just hit a button, and they're like, yeah, you have to do a bunch of shit to make that happen, like
programming.
Yes,
wise, yeah.
Yeah. It takes effort to program either version, and if you're doing both, it takes both sets of it takes effort. And I get it. I mean, I'm disappointed, but I'm not like the company's stupid.
Well, my wife loves Art Nouveau, and we were really surprised at how strong the Art Nouveau aesthetic is in it. It's pretty nice. She really loves it. She's thinking it might become one of her favorite games.
Also, today is the season finale of Mandalorian, so we can finally start watching it this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get my Baby Yoda on.
Okay.
I'm excited for Baby Yoda. I watched two movies I would like to speak to.
Okay.
One of which you already know about.
I do?
Yes, I presented you with an article about it, to which your response was, hard pass.
Oh, no, I don't even remember.
And then the other I just watched last night spontaneously when we got back from Christmas. So, the first one is a classic 1990 film from France. Came out the year before Home Alone. This is important because the film has been referred to as Die Hard meets Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
It is called, in its original title, translated into English, I believe, 3715 Dial Code Center. It has also been known as Deadly Games. And it is very... It is accurate to say Die Hard meets Home Alone, with a little bit of Richie Rich thrown in, but it is also very dark and very French and very 80s Europe kind of vibe. A kid with the most amazing mullet you've ever seen is 10 years old, lives in a house with his mother who owns toy stores, and his very old grandfather who indulges all of his ridiculous whims, like handcuffing him to breakfast and stuff like that. Ends up in... So France had this cool thing back in the day called Minitel, and it was basically pre-internet.
Oh, yeah.
And France had it everywhere, and it was like bulletin boards and chat rooms and stuff like that. And everybody could access it at their homes. Everybody could access it. There were public kiosks where you could do it and stuff like that. And that's where the title comes from, because there was this one that if you call this Minitel code, you would talk to Santa.
Mm.
And our 10-year-old hero still believes in Santa, and he goes to talk to him. But due to a screw-up in the lines somehow, he instead talks to this guy we've seen earlier who's just this creep. He's just this scary creep who clearly is fascinated by children, but there's like something wrong with him and stuff.
Mm.
And he ends up getting a job as a mall Santa. And then he gets fired and he gets mad, so he sneaks to the house, which is a big freaking castle that the 10-year-old lives in, and like stalks him and murders people and stuff. And that's the thing. Like, it's a pretty creepy but okay movie. Like, until the point where Santa comes down the chimney and the kid is hiding underneath watching, and then the dog doesn't like the Santa, and so he's trying to fend him off. And then we see, the camera does not cut away, him take essentially a cake server and stab the dog in the neck and kill it with lots of blood spatter. And I'm like, this movie just changed heavily. But this movie is so intensely 80s. It has two different scenes with the 10-year-old involving him suiting up Rambo style with like all of his weapons and gear, including one that also has this this really fucked up English language power ballad, in which he also carries sobbing the corpse of his dog and digs a grave for him in the basement during the same music number.
That seems very French.
And yeah, and there's the kid's a computer genius, and so he has all these cameras in the house, and it literally ends with them having shot this kid who the kid still thinks is Santa.
Oh.
And his corpse is lying there, and he is staring unblinking at the corpse of Santa while his mom has managed to finally show up and is holding him, being like, "It's all over now, it's all over," and he's just staring at the corpse of what he thinks is Santa, who he just killed, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
There's a lot of existentialism going on.
It's crazy. It also has its own blatant ripoff of Eye of the Tiger. Like one of those where it just is the same melody, but it goes up when the real song goes down. Yeah, like it's dead on.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous movie. It has not been available in this country legally ever until now. It never got a Blu-ray or DVD or anything. It is now on Shudder if you want to watch it. It's something. It's really something. If you're one of those who are like, let's watch this weird-ass old movie. Like, this is the weirdest-ass oldest movie. And not dubbed. It's French with subtitles, which just lends it something. They also played D&D at one point, he and his grandpa, but it's like on a chessboard. And stuff, but like his grandpa finally gets to be level 2 after they've been playing for 2 years. Like that gets mentioned offhand. Also, there's a secret passage that's full of toys, and you find out that it's his dad's toys and his dad's dad's toys. But we still don't know who his dad was. His dad's dead. Mm. And he talks about how he's going to be so proud that his toys will be there, too. Like, very French. super weird. But from the ridiculous to the much better, I don't want to say sublime, but I watched a movie last night that I've been curious about for a while that I've been seeing on there called Necrotronic.
Never heard of it.
It's like necro. In fact, some versions of it are necromancer is what it's called, but it's necro spelled with a K because that's all cool.
Yeah.
I had never heard of it either. It is once again those things where we need to be looking out of the common country's cinemas to find stuff, because I've been finding some amazing Southern Hemisphere movies lately, especially in the sci-fi and horror areas. Argentina, Chile, I've been finding great ones. This is Australia. This movie, here's the best way to explain it. Are you familiar? Do you remember R.I.P.D.?
Yes.
All right.
Didn't see it, but
it was not good.
Okay.
And R.I.P.D. is best explained as Men in Black, but with ghosts and souls and demons rather than aliens.
That's how it was pitched, yeah.
Yes. And I'd say that's what it is. It's bad, but that's what it is. Yeah. But it's the same sort of action comedy or thing, whatever. This is Australian R-rated R.I.P.D., basically.
Oh.
And it's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. And it is sci-fi, horror, action, comedy. And it definitely gets to qualify as all of those. Mm. And it's rare that you see something that falls into that sort of category that's at all good. And this was decent.
Mm.
Like, it's not winning awards and shit, but I liked it.
Hmm.
It's we don't even waste any time. The opening is literally a character in the thing explaining to you the history of the whole mythology in like 2 minutes via cartoons. And it's just like, so apparently ever since humans made animal sacrifices to gods and stuff, they accidentally released demons. And so demons would prey on humans and possess them and corrupt their souls. And then at some point, there became bloodlines that were necromancers that could see demons and could, like, fight them and had magic and shit like this. And they're like, and so basically for thousands of years, demons and necromancers have taken turns killing each other.
Mm.
But then eventually demons figured out the internet. And so now they can go into the internet and they can possess people even easier then. And then, which brings us to today, and we do shit where there's a chosen one we didn't know there was there, and he has to learn really fast and train and... You know, there was an orphan kid. It's got a lot of the tropes in it, but it's basically necromancers are a secret group that hunt demons with weird technological shit and magic.
How old is it?
Depending on where you look, it's either this year or last year.
Oh, really?
I've seen it listed 2018 or 2019. Again, unfortunately, it's on Shudder only. I looked to see if we could find it anywhere else.
Mm.
I don't even think you can buy it on Amazon. But, you know, grab Shudder for your free trial and watch it real fast. I think your wife would... I don't think you'd dislike it, but I think your wife would enjoy it.
Sounds interesting.
It's got some cool female characters, which is good. The lead is a dude, and he has to save the day always. But there are some cool ass-kicking female characters in it. And Monica Bellucci, who I haven't seen for ages in anything, plays the main villain in it. And that was kind of weird. She does a good job. and decent effects and stuff. And I mean, it's a very gritty R-rated... Like lots of F words, lots of blood and gore and stuff, but not bad. And has one of those like involved mythologies right out of the gate that I had to go look. I'm like, this is clearly a comic book or a graphic novel or something, but it apparently is not.
Huh.
It's just an original property.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I liked it, and I would recommend it if for no other reason than decent movies of this ilk are very uncommon.
Yeah.
And yeah, didn't have any big problems with it. It was interesting. Kept my focus, and it was actually funny at times when it was funny. And, I recommend it with the subtitles on because there are a variety of accents, and some of them are really hard for me. We had two or three different Australian accents, one French accent, and a couple of other things. Like, yeah, it was weird. And that's when you don't even count all the vocal treatments because they're demons and stuff. Right, which makes, right. So yeah, my captions are good on this one. I'm still watching the Dropout TV, the Fantasy High D&D thing. I'm still really enjoying it, but I'm also picking up a lot of stuff I think that could be helpful. I'm working on my New Year's Eve game,
yeah.
Which I'm hoping will go well. My plan also. So, are you going to CorridorCon?
We haven't really decided.
You didn't go before, did you, or did you go last year?
Well, that's a good question. Did
2 years ago, I went, and I think that was the first one, and I don't think you were there, and I didn't go last year.
I mean, I was there once when you were there.
Really?
Isn't that where we played the game where I was the
low
rent?
Yes,
Iron
that's
Man.
Right. Sorry, that was the first one. So yeah, we were at that one. All right.
But we might have
didn't go last year.
We
might
have missed last year. I think we also missed last year, but we were there the first one and the second one, I believe. And it seems like we've only been to two. And
I think there's only been two. I think this might be the third one.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure we missed the last one, so maybe we've only been to one. But I thought I'd been to one that you hadn't been to. That's why I say.
Maybe it's not the... Maybe I've missed more than I realized. Or maybe that wasn't the... I thought the one that we were both at was the first one, but I might be wrong about that.
I think it was.
Oh, I don't know. If things go okay, my second game in this vein, I'll run at that CorridorCon.
Oh.
So you get a chance to play it. I don't know what it's going to be yet. It won't be Space Pirates because this one is Space Pirates, but I haven't worked it out yet. But we'll see. We'll have to see how this one. If this one does not go super well, I may scrap the whole idea. I'll still probably. I think Trish and Stephanie and I are going to CorridorCon regardless. So.
Hmm.
That'll be good. I like it. It's a free con. It's one day, and it's not even really one full day. It's 9 to 5. I'm like, I get some gaming in for 8 hours with a bunch of people. I don't have to pay anything. Yeah, I can. And it's 20 miles from where I live. Like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not far away.
So that'll be cool. Yeah, not a lot else to speak of. So Jazz may have stopped listening to the podcast. I don't know. She simultaneously discovered the British TV show Taskmaster and somehow doesn't remember all the times I have talked on the podcast about the British TV show Taskmaster.
Mm.
So, but she's into it now. And they've got an official YouTube channel where they've started showing full older episodes.
Mm.
So it's unlike the times where I had to find like sneaky ones and then they would disappear before I had a chance to finish them. This is the official one, has all of Series 1 and Series 2 on it, and the first episode so far of Series 3. So if you were curious about such things, I would highly recommend checking it out. I love it. I love that show. It's a blast. But yeah, she just now discovered it and likes it too. So. Yeah, I think that's all I really have to say.
I guess we haven't. I mean, I did. If you remember, last time we podcasted, I said I was going to have Christmas that Saturday.
Yeah. Have you not had your Christmas yet?
No, we did have.
Okay.
We
did. How
have,
did that go?
It was fine. It was warm outside, you know.
Yeah. It's been
like
warm all this time.
We like to do stuff down at the farm when it's warm, and that's almost never around Christmas time. But Christmas actually was like 60 degrees or something.
Yeah. No, we open the presents, and then I traditionally call my parents. In my family, where they're having Christmas that morning, I just did it out on the front porch in shorts because it was warm.
Yeah, very warm. So, just went down the farm. Same old thing.
I'm going to eat this piece of peppermint bark, so you got to talk for a while.
I wonder if any of our listeners are playing Outer Worlds. It's pretty fun. It's very much... the reason my wife likes it so much is because it's like all of her favorite games in one place. I mean, it's got a little bit of Red Dead in it. It's got a little bit of Mass Effect. It's got a huge helping of Fallout, especially Fallout New Vegas. And I suppose it stands to reason since Obsidian was played a big hand in developing it. And Obsidian is really sort of the unsung hero of some games that you get from both Bethesda and BioWare. But Bethesda and BioWare get all the press, and the Obsidian people, who used to be Black Isle, they don't get a lot of love. So this game's really their chance to sort of show what they can do, and it's pretty good. And she really likes it. The story isn't super compelling. In fact, if I had a criticism of the game, it would be, you know how we've talked about how the BioWare games that aren't open world can really focus on relationships and story?
Yes.
But then the Bethesda games that are open world, they kind of have to sacrifice a little in the story arena. This game is not open world, really. I mean, it kind of is, because you go to a place and you can go wherever you want, but they're like individual small places.
Yeah.
But the story quality seems to be a lot like the open world Bethesda games. And I'm not sure why that is. You'd think like the BioWare games, they'd be able to really work on that story. But I wish you could play it, because you really get a sense for, like, because you can take companions with you.
Yeah.
And then they talk and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the way my wife plays, sometimes she'll do stuff that'll interrupt those conversations, and I won't really get to hear them very good, which is fine. But you, like, really listen to them.
Mass Effect Andromeda, the conversations going on in the car while you're driving around are amazing.
Yeah, that's what you said.
They're like a whole other plot line. It's
so
beautiful.
So if you were playing, I could
seriously ask, entire storylines happen just in those cars.
So if you were playing, I could ask how you felt about all of that.
Yeah,
because she doesn't really pay attention to it.
And this is interesting, because, like, remember we've talked about, is there a plot to Conan Exiles?
Oh yeah, right.
And there is.
Yeah, there is.
But it does not, as with everything in that game, it does not hold your hand to get there and start all over. But I'm kind of getting into it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, because it creates a very interesting sort of history of the place you're in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the people there. Mm-hmm. And one way or another, I think I may have to try and sort of finish that out. And it's hard to get pieces. I'm sure once I'm finally done, I'll have to, like, do some research to fill in a lot of gaps or whatever.
Sure.
But I'm finding following the ghosts around. Which, by the fucking way, I saw a ghost before anybody told me I would see ghosts.
Oh, yeah.
It scared the shit out of me. Because
There's a lot of ghosts in it, really.
I'm swimming.
Oh.
And there's somebody swimming towards me, but they're, like, translucent. And I'm like, I'm offline, right? I did not enable co-op or anything. So this can't be another player. And I'm like, is it like some games, you know, you get a ghost image, like if it, like, this is what this guy did, like racing games frequently. But I'm like, who would this be? What am I? And I'm like, maybe it's a real thing in the game. Maybe I should go talk. And I went and to them. And by that point, they had died under the water. And so I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is. And later I found out, yeah, you see ghosts. And now I figure out sort of how the ghosts work, which made me wish I remember where I saw that one, because there's probably treasure there
shit.
Oh,
yeah, right.
But I don't remember where it was.
Huh. I don't remember seeing a swimming ghost.
Yeah, no, I was just swimming along. I'm like, who the fuck is this? What is happening? And then they drowned. And I was like, what? And then disappeared. It was very weird. But yeah, I've seen a bunch since then. It's annoying because they walk across a bridge that doesn't exist anymore, so I can't really follow them.
Mm-hmm.
Although, so somebody had told me, I'd read this online at a place, if you get sick of it too hard, one of the first things I did, I turned off the thing where you lose all your stuff when you die.
Oh, sure.
Which means a quick way to get around, if your spawn point is far away, is just die.
Oh, kill yourself, sure.
So jumping off a cliff, right? Except I've now set it up where I don't take nearly as much damage.
Oh.
So, like, my camp is high on a hill, and I had to jump off, crash, run back up the hill, and jump off again, and then I made it. So, and every once in a while, I'm just like, if I finish something and I'm like heading back, I'm like, oh crap, I have to climb down. I don't know how to climb down. There's like no climb down feature. There's just climb up, which I'm like, that's not right. And every once in a while, I'm like, fuck it, I'll just jump. I'll get back faster that way. It's a crazy game. But yeah, the story, I'm very intrigued
about.
It is
a crazy game.
So we'll see how much happens there. Yeah, we should do a
draw thing.
Yeah, things. And stuff. And who's it's. What you got?
What do you got planned for New Year's, though? Because that's going to happen. So you're going to have a – do you guys play games or watch movies or both? Or
both. We don't play as much games these days because the house is no longer – has the space to do, like, multiple games at once.
Oh, okay.
So we do some, but mostly we watch bad movies. So, yeah, after the one-shot I'm running – like, that's going to start around, like, noonish, and then it'll be over 5 or 6, and then, the party will start, as it were.
Gotcha.
And I'm pretty sure we're going to watch Goonies.
Oh, Goonies, yeah.
And I'm weirdly excited to ruin that movie for myself. And then high on the list that I'm trying to convince them is the 2018 Robin Hood, because that is easily available to stream for free, and that thing is hilariously bad.
Dear TMTH.
That's us.
What will be the big pop culture costume for next Halloween? As in Monica Lewinsky, Ken Bones, David S. Pumpkins, etc. And this is from
Ken
Beth.
Bones?
I don't even know that.
I believe his name was Ken Bone.
Whatever. It's from Beth.
Yeah.
What will be the next big pop culture costume for next Halloween? Well, it's hard to say. I mean, the year hasn't even started yet. I'm sure something will happen.
I mean,
something will come up.
And it'll almost certainly be political.
I mean, David S. Pumpkins was like 2 weeks before Halloween.
Yeah.
When that hit.
Any questions? I love that.
I do too. I still watch it sometimes because it's so funny.
No, but given it's an election year and given how apeshit things are, I feel like it's probably going to be a political something.
A candidate or something, maybe.
I mean, unless something else pop culture really jumps out, like kimchi. It'll be kimchi. Everybody will be dressed as kimchi for Halloween. Hopefully it won't be something like Lizzo. I love Lizzo and she's very popular, but I don't like the idea of the masses trying to dress up as a large black woman, because there would be a lot of people who would do it who would not be large black or women. And I cannot think of the version they would do that would not make me want to shoot them in the face with something. So I got Lizzo on the brain right now. Somebody was bitching about Lizzo earlier and claiming that Lizzo's success is just because we have an obsession with we have an obesity epidemic in this country, and we have this obsession with obesity, and it's ruining us. And I was reading an article, and they're like, yeah, because so often American standards of beauty tend towards the black and fat. Like, so many, everything we clearly think is sexy as a society is not, I don't know, blonde, skinny, white women. No, we're always about the overweight black women. Clearly, this is a trend we have going. You know, maybe Lizzo's popular because she does good music.
What was the big pop culture thing in Halloween this year? I think I thought it was going to be something, and then I turned out not to even see it anywhere, and now I don't even remember what that was.
I saw the there's a place I know that runs the article, like, here, this year's dumbass topical costumes. Mm. And I saw them, but nothing really jumps out. It's been a while. Yeah, Ken Bone was 16.
I don't even know what that is.
Ken Bone was a guy at one of the debates, one of the presidential debates in 2016, who stood up and asked very pertinent and non-partisan questions and just had a very odd look about him. He was like bald with a very thin mustache and this red sweater. And he caught the internet's interest and everybody thought he was adorable. And then he did a Reddit AMA where he said some not as great stuff, and so he kind of fell out of favor pretty quick. But he sort of caught fire as the everyman for anyone on either side of the political spectrum for a hot second. And he was easy to imitate. That's another big thing, is it's frequently it has to be something that is easy to put a costume together for. So I mean, gun to my head hunch, whenever the impeachment trial actually happens, there'll be some zinger out of it that people will. It's going to be something like people dressing as binders full of women, thanks to Mitt Romney and his government. Like, somebody's going to say something during the impeachment trial, or possibly during the campaigns, that will be so ridiculous and comedic accidentally and so so easy to anthropomorphize that that'll be it.
I mean, can you think of any movies that are going to come out that might be so popular that it's a big Halloween thing? I mean, Wonder Woman will be out, but...
Next Avatar doesn't come out till Christmas.
Yeah. I can't think of anything that's supposed to... that is anticipated to be a big cultural touchstone.
It's not new. I mean, people dress as Wonder Woman now. They've dressed as Wonder Woman forever.
Right.
We might have more of Disco Wonder Woman, which I'd be fine with.
Maybe Cheetah will catch on and people will dress like Cheetah.
Could
that's
be.
The big,
could
she's
be.
The big bad in the movie. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's in June, and by the time Halloween rolls around, I mean, if it's based on movies, it's almost got to be a movie that's close by.
Yeah, I think it's only, I think it only gets based on movies when it's just a really wallops everything out of the park kind of deal. And I think it's harder and harder
but not
for a superhero movie to do
sure,
that.
Sure, but also it's not in February. I mean, like, I think Frozen 2 is a big popular movie, but I don't think more kids will be dressing as Elsa.
No, and that's,
next
yeah,
year
the,
as compared
it has to
the
be something
year.
New. If the timing was better, or I don't know when season 2 of The Mandalorian comes up, but Baby Yoda could make a I am confident next Halloween there will be some Baby Yodas.
Yeah.
But there may not be a ton of them.
Or maybe some Mandalorians with Baby Yodas.
That could work too. That could work.
Which would be pretty awesome.
You
actually.
You can do Mandalorians pretty easy with some cardboard and a little know-how.
Yeah, and then you can have your Baby Yoda with you.
There you go.
Maybe
that
some
could be a thing.
Maybe some sexy Baby Yodas.
Oh dear.
You know it's going to happen. Don't even say.
I do. Oh, sexy Baby Yodas. Oh.
I mean, there was sexy...
Can the hilariousness of the Cats movie last long enough?
See, I don't know.
Now, oh, my God.
Now, there was a sexy Mr. Rogers costume this Halloween. Was that the thing this past Halloween, sexy Mr. Rogers?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it made news.
A lot of shit makes news.
I don't think a lot of people were wearing it, but it's the thing people were talking about.
We keep being kind of torn of thinking about going to see the Cats movie. For pure spectacle. Like, we don't expect it to be good at all. Just bizarre. Also, did you hear? It got patched.
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, like a fucking video game.
Yeah.
They literally pushed out a file with an updated version that primarily fixed visual effects to all the theaters showing it.
I heard that.
The damn thing got patched. That's insane. At some point, I really do want to see it, because apparently it defies description with its ridiculousness. Like, it's amazing.
Well, you like Idris Elba, so maybe you'll like whatever he's doing.
Well, that's part of, like, somebody was talking about when they went to see it. They're like, we were talking for days afterwards, asking questions like, remember that part when Ian McKellen was drinking the milk? Or, do you think Idris Elba will ever work again? The person who wrote that article said during the showing they watched, five separate groups of people walked out before the end credits.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And Trish heard about somebody else that, like, people walked out. Like, it's just, apparently it is just incredibly bizarre, irrespective of the fact that it's fucking Cats, which was already incredibly bizarre. This entire experience has forced me to come to terms with what the actual plot of Cats is, because I never knew it. And it's batshit.
I don't even know.
I've seen
Cats and I don't know.
Once every year, I think, this particular tribe of cats, the Jellicles, get together and dance and sing so that one of them gets awarded by the oldest cat the chance to go to Heavenside, I guess, which is a cat heaven kind of thing.
Okay.
And they ascend to heaven afterwards if they win the contest, the talent show, for lack of a better term. And Idris Elba's character is like the villain, and he like prevents certain people from he fools some people and kidnaps them or something, like
catnaps them.
Yeah, like what?
So the winner gets killed? Is that what
That's
it is?
The thing. Like, I'm immediately like Logan's Run, and I'm like, renew. Like, so you have this talent show, and the winner goes to Carousel, basically. Yeah, it's apparently some versions is like, it's how cats get their ninth life or something. But what? And apparently, the movie is so much more bizarre than the play that was about the same exact thing. Like,
well, I saw
it's insane.
I saw,
and so I'm very curious. But I don't want to reward the making of this film by spending money in the box office.
I saw in Des Moines. I saw a production of Cats, and you know, I don't know if it was a full production or you know, sometimes when they take
just a little kitten version.
No, you know how sometimes they take productions to the rural states. They don't even do the whole thing.
Yeah.
I didn't understand any of it.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like any of it either. I mean, some of the songs were okay, but I just thought it was odd.
I know the famous songs from it. I have never had an interest in seeing it or been a particular fan of any of the famous songs from it. Memories is good. I mean, Memories is pretty much Send in the Clowns at this point.
Did you see The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? Did you see
it? I still have not watched that.
Okay, there's a bit about cats in it, and
but suddenly I've really been developing a serious interest in watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which I discovered all four seasons of which are on.
You just dropped it.
Are on Netflix, so I may want to check that out at some point.
I think you might like Kimmy Schmidt, but there's a bit about cats in it that's pretty funny. I won't give it away.
But yeah, I don't know. And also, Toby Hooper, the man who made it, is the guy who made the Les Mis movie as well.
Mm.
And I fucking hate that movie. And I fucking love Les Mis. But I hate that movie. Like, I am also one of those people that's of the opinion that most successful Broadway musicals make terrible movies. Like, not even that, like, they have worked out that way. I don't think they're meant to be movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them that way. Into the Woods, the movie, pissed me off. Like, this is... No, stop doing it.
Well, but of course, there's also that Into the Woods that's actually... They're just shooting the...
Yeah. Play. That's just filming the Broadway play. That's fine.
Which was good.
Yeah, I'm talking about the James Corden and Emily Blunt one from a couple years ago.
Right.
Chris Pine.
Well, that is interesting that if you compare the movie
with
when they just basically shot the stage thing. The stage thing was so, it was really good.
And I've seen version of that. I've seen a filmed version of the stage version of Sweeney Todd that had Angela Lansbury in it.
Oh.
And is great. I've seen the movie Sweeney Todd. It's not so great. I mean, it also, Tim Burton jizzed all over it. So, I mean, that's the thing too. But I was going to say pooped, but given all the white pancake makeup, I feel like jizzed is more appropriate.
Well, a lot of times when they film stage productions, those can be really, really good.
Yeah, and they're not the same thing. And don't get me wrong, I'm one of those bastards who likes a lot of movies that started out as plays, but they're not musicals. There's a thing about musicals, and I mean, they teach you this shit when you act. There's a way to act when you're in a regular play. And a way to act when you're in a musical, mm-hmm. and it's different. And it's not just when you're singing that's different.
Right.
You do it differently.
Yeah.
Musicals are essentially caricatures. Mm-hmm. They are bigger. They are more spectacle.
It's like a cartoon.
Yeah. And it doesn't... And movies aren't like that, unless they're actually a cartoon.
Yeah.
Seems
like I've seen that Les Mis film you're talking about. I don't
know. Oh, yeah. And it had Hugh Jackman in it as Valjean and Russell Crowe as Javert and Anne Hathaway as...
I guess I didn't...
Whoever Cosette's mom was.
I guess I didn't mind it, but
I,
I'm not a, a particularly interested in Les Mis.
I did not like it. And I think part of it was that one really worked at being gritty because it was revolutionary France, which is a pretty fucked up place.
Yeah.
But I don't need a musical to be like, no, no, no. It's a musical. Like, don't. That's fucked up. No.
Who played the witch in the stage version?
Oh, Bernadette Peters.
Yeah, Bernadette Peters. Down forever. Wow.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that was.
I have seen a local production where the witch did well, but nobody can hold a candle. And I mean that, like, genuinely, because there's a lot of Bernadette Peters-ness in that performance. Like, she doesn't exactly vanish into the role.
No, right.
But it's amazing. It's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody was great in that. They had Chip Zian back in the day.
People should see that, I think.
Yeah, I think it's on Netflix.
Really?
I think if you just type in it used to be. I know it used to be. And it had some really great performers. Chip Zian was in it. The woman who plays his wife shows up on a lot of sitcoms later, but I love her.
It's a good musical anyway.
It is a good musical.
But the way they staged it, and when Bernadette Peters is really good.
And it's
really good.
Because when I originally watched Into the Woods, I was a little disconcerted. My opinion was always, the first act is great. The second act gets way dark. And I didn't enjoy that. And now I realize, like, it's really smart, what it is. Yeah, it's a very interesting story, and it's making a point. And you need that second act to make that point, because otherwise it's just a silly fairy tale, which is fine. But I mean, yeah, it's a very different. I mean, the first part is kind of just goofy, but it has meaning when you take the second part.
Right, right.
And the second part is not nearly as funny. I will give you that. Although it has its moments.
Maybe we'll watch that again soon, because it was very good.
It's very good. All right, so it's gonna be. This is the last one of the year.
Yep.
2020 next.
Yep, January 2nd.
I will have just moved cubicles.
And
that morning.
And you'll have your little sign up. That looks pretty
cool. I don't
know
what else to say. I'm pretty pleased about that. But I have so much crap.
It's about a foot square, isn't it? More or less.
I would say. I got all my Funko Pop figures. I'm gonna set up and everything, and my Totoro poster.
Oh right, because you had that up when we worked together.
I still can't find that one. I bought a new one at Geek Girl Con. That's a hand-painted one that's really cool. So I'm going to put that up and some other stuff. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Did we talk about Kumail last week?
I mean, we did, I think, about in relation to something.
He's all buff now?
Oh, no, not that.
Yeah. Did you see this stuff about this?
No.
Holy shit, you should look this up. So, here's the thing. Kumail Nanjiani.
Yeah.
Actor, comedian. Big superstar these days.
Yeah.
Went to college with him. Big fan. He's in the new Eternals movie.
Oh.
And.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So
I heard that.
Marvel owns his ass at the moment and can make him into whatever shape they want. So they've been making him get all superhero buff.
Oh.
And he posted a picture on Instagram that was like straight up thirst trap picture. Like it's him shirtless. Like, and holy shit. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, he makes this Instagram post and he's like, I never do this, but I'm just so amazed. And he made a big point of saying, this is not something I could have done without the resources of Marvel Studios their trainers and their nutritionists and all this, and the time to do it and all this stuff. But he posts this and it's fucking insane. And it's so insane that the next day, and he again told everybody on Instagram, but Pornhub tweeted him and let him know that his picture was now the thumbnail image for the muscular men category of porn on their site.
Oh gosh.
And he for the record, and we all had to clarify this, he has done no porn. He's just that picture. But seriously, look up the picture, because it's insane. Well, he's so buff.
And what character is he gonna play?
I don't know. People who know the Eternals know. I think there's probably a brown character, because when I tell people who know the Eternals and I'm like, I'm not sure, they're all like, probably so-and-so.
A good guy.
Yeah, yeah, one of the Eternals, yeah.
I didn't know if the Eternals were all good guys.
I know, the Deviants are the bad ones. I don't know. Years ago I read the Neil Gaiman treatment of it, which was a reboot kind of thing that was supposed to be a series. I think it didn't really get there. So I don't know a lot about the Eternals except for the long Wikipedia histories. But yeah, so he's just incredibly muscular right now. And he had the abs that I'm like, those are abs you had for that day's shoot. Because that's the one where, like, you're only allowed this much water today kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
And we're going to do all the shots of you with your shirt off.
I've heard guys say that their abs don't look like that every day.
No. Yeah, that's what I've been – is you lead up to it. I think it takes like a week or whatever, and it involves a lot of very careful with how much water. Very little water is a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they film all the shirtless scenes.
Yeah,
like
Hugh
Jackman's done it, Hemsworth's done it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that – and you're still buff, but like, yeah, that definition in the abs
is
a thing that you don't get by behaving remotely naturally.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've heard guys say.
And he had it, so I was like, oh, my God. That was the thing. When I first saw it, I was like, is this Photoshop? What? But then, no, we got confirmation. He just looks like that. And it sounds like, actually, they eventually had to sort of alter it so he would still be muscular but not quite as bulky because he's huge. Like, his arms are insane.
Oh.
And I think for his character, they wanted a slimmer but still muscular look. And so, because today I read an article on – with the guy who set up his whole thing, because he's 41. So they're like, so we had to customize, like, different ages, different body types, things like that. You don't get those results the same way with each of them. So they had to work out a specific thing for him. And apparently they changed it a couple times.
He doesn't, I mean, when you look at his body type, you would almost expect if he worked out and stuff and bulked up, it would he'd still have a very kind of lean, sort of wiry build still.
Yeah, no, but he... I mean, you can do it, depending on how you do your weight training. There's ways to make your muscles bigger.
Oh,
or
yeah,
not.
I guess so.
And he also, he's had pretty big arms for a while, because he started working out... I mean, he's in Hollywood, so everybody does. But also, once he did Stuber with Dave Bautista, like, he gave him... He worked out with Dave some and stuff, so he'd already been some. But now, yeah, seriously, find that picture. It's insane. All right, we are out of time, people. If you would like to tell us what you think the next pop culture costume is, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us about it. Or if you want to talk about how hot Kumail is, or, I mean, just anything. We're lonely. We like the company. Come talk to us. And then we will talk to you next year. And I hope everybody had a good holiday. Mm-hmm. And I hope that everybody has a fun New Year's.
Safe.
And safe. Yeah, whatever. Oh, two interesting things. Illinois, next year, as of like 2020 starts, two things are happening. One, they legalized weed.
Somehow I knew you were going to say
that. That's going to be interesting. Two, they are officially not doing daylight savings.
Oh, that's awesome. I wish we would not do
daylight
savings. No,
that'd be awesome if we were all doing it together. Since we're not, it's fucking dumb as hell. Like, I know other states do it, but they're all states nobody gives a shit about. Arizona, Indiana. People go through Chicago. Like, I'm going to have to call my in-laws who are less than 3 hours away and be like, what time is it there? Like, oh, God, it's going to be ridiculous.
Well, maybe it'll make us stop participating in daylight savings.
Would that it were true.
I feel like
this needs to be a national. Like, I'm in favor of not doing it, but we all have to not do it or it becomes weird as fuck. And Illinois is like one of the most central choices to like fuck up everything. Like, basically, for a certain part of the year now, as far as we're concerned, they're going to be on mountain time.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. We'll be springing forward. They won't.
Oh.
They'll be an hour behind us.
Yeah, because usually Chicago's time and our time's the same.
Yes.
Yep.
It's going to be weird.
Does the time zone go through Illinois or does it go through? No,
it's Indiana, somewhere in Indiana.
So all of Illinois is on our time?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But not
Indiana
for part of the year.
Half is Eastern and then part of Indiana doesn't do it. So Indiana at certain points has like three times. It's very fucked up. But it's Indiana. Who the hell cares? But like, no, this is a state that matters. This is going to be a mess. Anyway, Happy New Year and watch out for Illinois.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.